Eye, brought to you by Vic, makers of Vic Patronol, the specialized medication expressly designed to help prevent many colds from developing if used in time, and Vic Vapor Rub, first choice and family standby for relieving miseries of colds in millions of homes. And now, before we turn another page in the exciting diary of the Nichols family, here's an interesting bit of news that you could easily dig up for yourself. If you called on all the mothers in your neighborhood and asked them what they use to relieve miseries of their family's colds, well, most of them would tell you they use Vicks Vapor Rub. These mothers know how serious a cold, yes, even a slight cold, can be. So they refuse to take needless chances with untried remedies. Now, benefit by their experience, and when a cold strikes, get after miseries, relieve distress with home-proof Vicks Vapor Rub. And now, to the Nichols family. Well, it's an ordinary Tuesday morning. At least it started like an ordinary morning for Jim Nichols. He had his customary breakfast of orange juice, toast, and coffee, settled down quietly to read the morning paper. All this, of course, before the boys, Dick and Dave, were to make their usual noisy entrance. Yes, everything was peaceful until...
You better hurry, dear. You'll be late for the office.
Say, why are you rushing me? I've got 20 minutes.
Darling, aren't you grumpy this morning?
I'm grumpy and lumpy from that bed and mattress. Incidentally, you've been promising to do something about that.
Well, after all, dear, I do have...
Miss Nichols.
Oh, what is it, Jenny?
That certain thing we were suspecting is on the premises.
Well, just leave it in the kitchen, Jenny.
I can't leave it in the kitchen, Miss Kitty. It's getting under my feet.
Well, then, put it on a chair, Jenny.
Oh, honey, I can't lift it.
Goodness sakes, what have you got in there?
Oh, dear, I wasn't going to tell you until tonight, but as long as Jenny's mentioned it, it's something for you, dear.
Oh, say, that's well. What is it?
Oh, you'll love it, Jim. It's a tool chest.
Oh, that's what I always... A what, did you say?
A tool chest, darling. You know, with hammers and chisels and knives and saws.
And plasters and bandages and iodine. Now, listen, Kitty, what's this all about?
Well, it's very simple, dear. I thought you ought to have a hobby. Now, with a tool chest and the boys to help you...
Pardon me. When you folks have decided what you're going to do with them hammers and chisels and knives, you can contact me via the kitchen.
Now, Jim, I haven't got much time to talk about it now. It's 8:30 and I'm expecting my client.
Your client? All right, dear, hand me the aspirin and tell me everything.
Well, it all started with Christmas coming.
Well?
Well, I wanted to get you something especially nice. And besides, there might be a future in it.
A future in a tool chest?
Well, that's later, dear. First, it's in my interior decorating business.
Now, wait a minute. How do I fit into this confused picture?
With the tool chest, darling. Well, right now, it's just to be a hobby. But after I'm doing well and buying and selling antiques, you can repair them. And just think, we'll be in business together, dear.
Just one more item, Kitty. Tell me about the client.
Oh, you mean Mrs. Carson's, dear. Well, I met her to tea yesterday. She's furnishing a new home. So I'm taking her up to the country to look at antiques today. Do you remember that retired sea captain we ran into last summer? Well, anyway, he has quite an old chest.
He should have. He's over 60.
Very amusing, dear. Well, anyway, I'm sure that Captain Fargo wants to sell, and I know that Mrs. Carson will want to buy it. So, when you get home tonight, I will have made $50 in commissions. Isn't that wonderful, dear?
I don't know, but I can tell you one thing that's wrong with it.
What?
I don't want to be a part of your business. I happen to like my own work. So, before you leave this morning, just call the store and ask them to pick up those tools. Say, I'd better go or I will be late.
Well, don't worry about me, darling, and don't work too hard.
I won't. And don't you forget to send back that tool chest. Goodbye, dear.
Oh, 18 men on a dinner chest. Ho, 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 and a bottle of rum.
Hey, keep on the right side of the chair. We're really trying to
do
my. Oh, hi,
Mom. Breakfast will be ready in a minute, but... Oh, Dick, where'd you get that awful tie?
Don't you remember? That's the one you gave Dad last Christmas that he wouldn't wear.
Oh,
Mom, did Dad like the tool chest, huh? Did he?
Well, he didn't like the idea very much. He wants me to send it back.
Gee, Mom, if you keep the tool chest, we can help you with the antique.
Sure, we can fix antique.
Really?
Sure, we could even make them.
In, Mrs. Carson, to make yourself comfortable.
My, it certainly will feel good to rest. I just never drive this much in one day because, well, I never do.
Yes. When I drive this much in one day, I usually do it in 2 days.
Oh, Mom.
Yes, Dick. Oh, this is Mrs. Carson, Dick.
Well, how you
Dave home yet?
No, he's still at school rehearsing with the band. By the way, Mom, I gotta tell
you. You'll have to tell me later, Dick. Now, go downstairs and be on the lookout for an elderly man driving a truck. He'll be dressed like a sailor, and the chuck will have a chest in it.
Another tool chest, one for Dave and one for me?
No, this is a different kind of a chest. Now, hurry up, Dick. He should be here any minute. And remember, look for a sailor.
Aye, aye, Mom. I'll keep my weather eye peeled for him. Give him a tempest.
Oh, well, there'll be just talk, Mrs. Carson's, until Captain Fargo gets here.
Yes, because I've been thinking all the way back from the country, and a lot of things have been running through my... Well, they have.
Really? Well, different things were running through my mind, too. Just think, I made $50 in commissions, and you'll never regret paying $500 for that chest. It's so antique and dilapidated.
I know.
As soon as Captain Fargo gets here, we'll close the deal. You'll give him your check, and the chest will belong to you. Won't your husband be proud of you?
Well, that's just it. No.
Did you say no, Mrs. Carson?
No, yes.
Oh, well, Mrs. Carson, do you mean you've changed your mind?
Really, Mrs. Nichols, the most I can spend is $400 because...
Ahoy, Mom, ahoy! Here's Captain Fargo.
Oh, there you are, ladies. I'm sorry to be late.
Hello, Captain Fargo. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
All right, Dick, you can go and do your homework now. I'm busy.
Okay, Mom.
Well, I'll sign your bill of sale, Mrs. Nichols. Just let me have your check, Mrs. Carson. Bless the deposit, and I'll deliver the chest to your house.
Well, Captain, I've been doing a lot of thinking.
You enjoy the drive down, Captain?
Mrs. Nichols, it's no more than fair that I tell Captain Fargo that I tell him.
Tell me what, Mrs. Carson?
Mrs. Carson... Well, that I'm just upset. I don't know what Mr. Carson is going to say about... He said I can't afford more than $400 for the chest, and well, now I...
What's that? Why didn't you tell that before instead of dragging me 30 miles down here to the city?
Well, I tried to, but Mrs. Nichols was talking so much, I guess you didn't hear me because, well, you didn't.
Well, Mrs. Nichols, what you got to say about this?
Captain Fargo, is your bed comfortable?
Is my bed... Now, wait a minute, Mrs. Nichols. Wait a minute. Let's not change the subject. But if you must know, well, it ain't.
Suppose you just go right into that room.
Why, but look at here.
Now, Captain, you just stretch right out on that bed. What? Now, go ahead.
Well, all right, if you say so. Hey, this bed's as hard as a brick. Very comfortable.
But do you suppose he really likes the bed as hard as a... Well, do you?
Well, of course. He's a sea captain, and you get used to hard beds on all those ships, and you can't sleep on anything else.
Well, Captain, that settles the whole problem. Mrs. Carson will give you $400 for the chest, and I'll throw in the bed.
Well, now, I don't know about that. Don't seem to me that bed's worth $100 secondhand. Now, if you could throw in something else.
And like what?
Well, I kind of got my eye on that table over there. Looks like a right fine one.
Oh, it certainly is. It's been in our family for years, but it's not ours.
Huh?
We're just mining it for Jim's Aunt Josephine. She's been in China for 7 years, and... Well, if a person goes away for 7 years, you can declare him dead, can't you?
Yep, that's the law.
And if you have a table that's not called for 7 years, well, that's sort of dead, too, isn't it?
Hmm?
Well, all right, Captain, you can have the table, but nothing else.
Well, I guess it's a deal. I'll deliver the chest to your house, Mrs. Carson, and I'll be back after dinner, Mrs. Nichols, to pick up the bed and the table. Well, see you later, then.
Goodbye, Mrs. Nichols, and thank you very much for... Well, thank you.
Thank you, and goodbye. Oh, 15 gallons up the dead man's
chest. Oh, Mom, if you're finished now, can I tell you what I was trying to tell you when you first came in?
What is it, Dick?
Why, you were out. Dad called up and said somebody's coming to visit us early tomorrow morning.
Oh, really, Dick? Who?
That's what I've been trying to tell you. Aunt Josephine.
I've got everything all arranged, and there's no reason to worry about Aunt Josephine.
Kitty, I suppose you remember that Aunt Josephine is a very wealthy woman, and that I'm her only living relative?
Of course, darling. That's our whole budget is based on that.
Well, my unbalanced wife, you have just unbalanced the budget. Let me in on the secret. How do you propose to straighten this out?
You'll see, Jim. Just a minute. Oh, Dave.
Yeah, Mom?
Did Dick get back yet?
Yeah, we got all the stuff right here in the kitchen.
Well, bring it in, will you, please, and dump it on the floor.
Now, listen, Kitty, I'm telling you right
Jim,
now
you
that...
You don't even know what I'm thinking of.
That's what bothers me.
Here you are, Mom. Good thing we know that fellow who works at the lumberyard.
Hey, look, what is this
now,
all about?
Now, before you say anything, dear, I want you to think very carefully. Now, this morning I bought you a present, remember? The tool chest. And now
I see everything very clearly. I know exactly what's on your mind, and I don't like it. Now, what makes you think that I can make a table?
Well, gee, Dad, after all, your great-grandfather made this table. You ought to be able to make one.
Yeah, Dad, it's hereditary.
It's very silly. Besides, Aunt Josephine will be here early in the morning. And I've got a book here that I must read tonight for a conference in the morning.
What's the name of it, dear?
The Economic Determinisms of the Modern Industrial Revolution.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Well, why can't Dave and I help you with the building, and then Mom can read the book to you? Isn't that a good idea?
Not to give you a short answer, no.
Oh, Dad, come on. The tool chest is right here, and all we have to do is get out the tools and begin.
Oh, all right. Well, you boys hold this end of the board, and Kitty, you hold the other.
Well, I can do that and read, too. Oh, I know what to do. Oh, Jenny.
Yeah?
Jenny, please sit right down here in this chair and start reading this book out loud.
Ma'am?
Kitty, that's ridiculous.
Well, maybe it is, but you know how important time is, dear. Now, go ahead. Start sawing.
Right.
And, Jenny, you start reading.
Yeah, okay. Here I go. Now, let's see. The echo. Say, there's an echo in here.
Jenny, stop ad-libbing and just read what's on the paper.
Yes. The economic determinism of the modern industrial revolution traced their origin... Oh, my goodness.
Jenny, please don't stop.
Golly, how can Dad understand the book?
Yes. Jim, to the post-Civil War period and the functional performances.
Never tell when a mean cold is going to make you miserable with spells of coughing, muscular soreness, or tightness, or congestion in the upper breathing passages. No, you can't tell when a cold is going to strike, but you can be prepared. One of the very best things you can do is to get Ridite right after discomfort, the improved Vicks way. Now, this is a better, more thorough way to use Vicks Vapor Rub and makes this fine old family standby give even better results than ever before. You just massage Vapor Rub briskly on the back, as well as on the throat and chest. And almost at once, Vapor Rub starts to work, bringing relief. It penetrates to the cold, congested upper bronchial tubes with soothing vapors. And at the same time, it stimulates chest and back surfaces, like a warming poultice. Then, for hours, this double action keeps on working. And when you see how it relieves coughing, muscular soreness, or tightness, how it soothes irritation and helps to bring wonderful comfort, well, you'll understand why Vicks Vapor Rub is first choice for relieving miseries of colds in so many millions of homes. No, you can never tell when a cold may strike, so be prepared. Always keep on hand a jar of time-tested Vicks Vapor Rub. And now, let's get back to the Nichols family. Well, sir, at 7:30 the following morning, Aunt Josephine is due to arrive within the hour, and as far as building the table is concerned, well, anything can happen at the Nichols, and usually does.
History as the early romance, and that is the economic determinism of the modern industrial revolution. Just finished. That is the end of this book and of me.
Well, you did a very good job, Jenny. You must be tired.
Tired? It's 7:30 in the morning. 422 pages just messing with big words. If y'all don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Well, Kitty, I've been working on this thing for 12 hours, and there's your tape. And don't tell me it doesn't look like the original, because I know it.
Morning, Dad.
Good morning, boys.
Did you finish the table, Dad?
Oh, yeah.
What?
And never mind, boys. Maybe it is a little crooked and the legs are shorter, but, well, your great-great-grandfather had more time than your father did.
Yes, and besides, he didn't have to listen to Jenny all night.
Well, what happened to Captain Fargo? Didn't he show up?
No. No, what's the use? I'm not going to the office. I'm going to bed.
Oh, dear, I wonder who that is. It can't be Aunt Josephine.
I'll go, Mom.
No, no, you boys have your breakfast before Jenny goes to sleep.
Okay.
It must be somebody working his way through night school.
Well, I'll get rid of him, dear.
Oh, Captain Fargo.
Yes.
Well, won't you come in?
Thank you, Mrs. Nichols. Nice morning.
We looked for you last night after dinner at the shed.
Well, to tell you the truth, my gout started to bother me last night, so I stayed over. I had trouble with it for 20 years.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, won't you come in and sit down?
I will.
Oh, dear, you remember Captain Fargo.
Oh, yes, of course. How do you do? Oh, fine, thanks.
I suppose you want the table, Captain.
Well, frankly, Mrs. Nichols, I'd like to take the table and that bed up to the country before this gout got a chance to get worse.
Oh, sorry to hear about your gout, Captain. But I was wondering if you could go and get the bed first and stop back later for the table.
What do you mean, stop back? The bed's here.
What? Kitty, does he mean that?
Yes, Jim, I had to throw the bed in to close the deal. Besides, after all, you said you hated it.
Well, that's the last straw. Now, look here, Captain. You know how women are. Suppose I give you my check for $100, and you leave the bed and table, and we'll call it a deal.
Well, what's going to happen to my commission?
You're not going to get any. Well, what do you say, Captain?
Well, I guess I can get another table like that.
Oh, that's fine, Captain Fargo. And now everything's straightened out, dear.
Kitty, Captain Fargo might like some breakfast.
Oh, that'd be mighty nice. It'll be a long ride up to the country.
Yes, Jenny. Oh, Dick.
Yes, ma'am.
Will you have Jenny fix some breakfast for Captain Fargo?
Sure thing. Okay, Jenny, here comes the captain. Step right this way, Captain.
Well, all right, and thank you, Mrs. Nichols.
Well, boy. Well, Kitty, all I can say is you're pretty lucky. This ought to be a lesson to you now. The next time you get any more bright ideas, just remember...
Oh, Jim, that must be Aunt Josephine. Oh, come on.
Boy, we just made that deal with Captain Fargo in time.
Aunt Josephine. Oh, you finally arrived.
Oh, my dears, my dears. How are you both?
Why, we're both fine, Aunt Josephine. My, you certainly look well. Come in, come in. That's it. I'll put these bags right here in the hall, and you can unpack them later. Oh, you must be tired after that long trip.
No, it's just wonderful to be among people you know and love and to be surrounded by all the things you remember.
Oh, really? Don't you want to take a nap?
No, I just want to sit and drink it all in. Why, there's my table. My own favorite table. So you children did keep it for me all this time. It's been in our family for 100 years. I hope we can have it forever.
I hope so. I certainly hope so.
Oh, Mom, Captain Fargo said... It's Josephine.
Well, you must be big. And Dave, my, aren't you big men?
Well, Aunt Josephine...
Oh, Captain Fargo, I'd like you to meet Jim Sat, Mrs. Winslow. She's been away for some time.
I heard all about you, Mrs. Winslow. You're the lady what left that odd table here, ain't you?
Well, it's not exactly odd, Captain. It's more a valuable antique. There's not another one like it in the world.
Why don't we just sit down?
Hey, now, wait a minute. Do you mean, Mrs. Winslow, you can't get another table like that?
I should say not.
Well, in that case, Mrs. Nichols, I'd like to have that table myself.
Listen, Kitty, I can't seem to make you understand. Aunt Josephine isn't going to be in the bedroom unpacking forever. And Captain Fargo isn't going to be eating in the kitchen forever. Now, sooner or later, he's going to leave and take that table with him.
Then what?
Yes, sir. Well, what are you tiptoeing around for?
Captain Fargo's in the kitchen getting jittery.
What is it now?
He says his gout's starting to hurt, and I think he's going to leave pretty soon.
Oh, we can't let him do that. What'll Aunt Josephine say if he finds the table's gone?
I think Aunt Josephine kind of likes Captain Fargo. She says she's going to make him something to eat to take up the country with him.
She did? Oh, now, wait a minute. If Aunt Josephine likes Captain Fargo, that might settle the whole problem. After all, he's single and she's single.
Say, knowing Aunt Josephine, that's not as crazy as it sounds. Oh, now, who in the world is that? Listen, whoever it is, get rid of him in a hurry. Dick, you go back and start telling Captain Fargo what a wonderful woman Aunt Josephine is, you know.
Yeah, Dad, I'll give him a work.
And I'm going to do a little spelling on Aunt Josephine.
All right, dear, and don't come out until I call you. Oh, hello, Mrs. Carson. Well, nice to see you again. Come in.
Good morning, Mrs. Nichols. I only have a minute, but I have to tell you.
Well, I do.
Tell me what, Mrs. Carson? About the chest. My husband said it's a fake. The drawer's thick, it's warped, and he stopped the payment on the check, and, well, he did.
You mean he really stopped the payment on the check?
Yes.
Why, Mrs. Carson, he can't do that. After all, I'm responsible for that.
Oh, there you are, Kitty. Jim's been telling me. Oh, excuse me.
Oh, that's all right. This is my Aunt Josephine, Mrs. Carson. And, of course, you know Jim.
How do you do?
We'll talk about the bridge game later, Mrs. Carson.
What? I don't know anything about the bridge game. Before I go, I just want to tell you that Mr. Carson said old Captain Fargo is nothing but a, well, just a crook. And, well, he is. And now I've got to go. I mean, well, goodbye.
Well, James, so that's the kind of man you want me to be interested in, eh? Nothing but a common thief. Frankly, I don't understand it. From the minute I arrived, I felt that something was wrong, and now I'm sure of it. Well, I'm going to pack my bags and leave. And I'll take my table with me, thank you.
But Aunt Josephine...
7 years in China and to come back to this.
Oh, darling, I'm sorry.
Never mind, kitty. Let's take a little inventory. I'm out one bed, one very valuable aunt, and $400 in cash.
But, Jim, it could be worse.
Yes, I know. And you're just the girl to arrange it.
Gonna sit here in the kitchen all morning. How am I ever gonna get them dishes done so I can get some sleep?
Quiet, Jenny. Mrs. Nichols is thinking.
And Josephine asked me about that chest Miss Carson sent back.
Kitty, did you think of anything yet?
I wish somebody explained to me what's going on here at the moment. There's Aunt Josephine out there in the living room, mad as can be. Captain Fargo is in the guest room with Dave and Dick wrapping up your bed. And moaning and groaning about the gout. And yeah, y'all is in the kitchen. I understand all these items perfectly. With the exception of one little item. Why?
Jenny, do we have a big book in the living room?
Well, how about the one I read last night, the Echo Numi?
No, not that one. No, there must be another. That's right, the big dictionary.
Now, wait a second, Kitty, before you start anything
else. Now, don't interrupt, darling. This has to be done very quickly. The thing that bothers me is why I didn't see it sooner. It's so obvious. Now, Jenny, carry the dictionary into the guest room, and when Captain Fargo isn't looking, drop it on its foot.
What?
But do it very gently.
Kitty, are you out of your mind? I'll admit I'm not crazy about Captain Fargo, but I don't want him killed, at least not in our own bedroom. What do you expect to get out of all this mayhem?
Now, just wait, dear. You'll see. Everything will turn out fine. Oh, this is going to be just wonderful. Now, go ahead, Jenny. Hurry. And make sure it looks like an accident.
All right, I'll do it. But I don't know. He is a big man.
Well, come on, darling. Let's go in the living room and wait.
Well, Kitty, I'm telling you.
Hello, Aunt Josephine. Would you like to come in the guest room to see Captain Fargo?
Of course not. By the way, I've been noticing this chest that was just delivered.
But Captain Fargo's hurt his foot.
It can't be so bad. I didn't hear anything.
Oh, there. Now, you see. Now, what did I tell you? Don't go, Aunt Josephine. I'll go and see.
But, Kitty, I don't understand how you can...
Oh, my foot.
Mom, something happened.
Right, yeah.
Captain Fargo, what happened?
Oh, this crazy girl dropped the book on my couch. I'll hang her from the yard arm. Oh,
Jenny, how could you have been so careless?
Never mind. Let's do something quickly. What's good for this, Captain?
Oh, get some towels. Lots of them and cold water.
Jim, you and the boys take care of this. I have to do something else.
How is the captain, Kitty? Is he badly hurt?
Aunt Josephine, didn't your husband used to have the gout?
Yes, he did, poor Harry. He suffered from it until the day he died. The doctors couldn't do a thing for him, but I used to help. I had the perfect remedy.
Well, Captain Fargo is in awful pain. I was wondering...
Absolutely not. Why, he's a common crook. To think that I almost liked the man. About this chest here, Kitty, did you and Jim buy it?
Well, do you think it's worth $500?
Well, it's a wonderful example of early American. I'd buy it in a minute.
You would? There, you see, I told you that Captain Fargo was a fine man. He's the one who's selling the chest to Mrs. Carson. Mrs. Carson is going to buy. And just because she didn't know a good buy when she saw one was the reason that she called the captain a crook. I'll bet the real crook is Mr. Carson, her husband.
Well, this rather puts a different light on things, Kitty. I don't know because...
Well, Captain Fargo's in there moaning and groaning, and you can help him, Aunt Josephine.
Why, of course. Come on, what are we waiting for? And you see, why, the poor old man, he's... Now, don't you worry, Captain Fargo. You're in capable hands now.
Kitty, I don't get this. How did you manage?
Jim, everything's under control, just as I told you.
Stop that mumbling. Now, we must have something to rest his foot on. Just the right kind of a table to do.
I know the one in the corner. Dave made it last night. Just four things like...
Why, that's perfect. Oh, Kitty, give me that pillow. Now, here. Now,
careful, man, careful.
There, now. We'll just rest your full foot on it. There we are. That's better.
Come on, boys.
Here, let go.
Come on. Now lie back, Captain Fargo, and let an old widow take care of you.
Why, you're not old, Mrs. Winslow. Josephine, you're just...
Gee, Mom, everything turned out swell.
Yeah, even with the table you made, Dad.
You see, darling, I told you.
I know. Don't say a word. I take it all back.
But you don't understand. But you don't understand, dear. We won't have to worry about Aunt Josephine's table because she'll probably share it. And besides, Aunt Josephine will probably buy the church. So I'll make the commission after all. Isn't everything a small world, darling?
Say, you know, I think we'll keep the tool chest.
Well, Dad.
Oh, boy, that's Josie.
Sure, if my great-grandfather could make a table that's been in the family for 100 years, no reason why I can't build something the boys can use. And their children for 100 years.
Oh,
Mr. Yes, Jenny? Why, Jenny, why aren't you sleeping?
I've been trying to sleep, but I can't. See that book I read to you all last night? There's something in there that's bothering me.
Oh, really, Jenny? What is it?
What I want to know is, was there many people killed?
Killed? Where?
In that modern industrial revolution.
Here's a word of caution about colds. You know, this time of year, colds are mighty hard to shake off. So for the sake of your health and happiness, please listen carefully. When you first feel a cold coming on, at the first sniffle, sneeze, a sign of nasal irritation, just tilt back your head and put a few drops of Vicks Vatrinol up each nostril. Such quick use of Vatrinol aids your own natural defenses against colds, and so helps to prevent many colds from developing. Now, the sensible thing to do is to keep Vicks Vatrinol handy, ready to use as directed in the package, at the first sniffle or sneeze. Remember the name, Vicks Vatrinol. Next Sunday afternoon at the same time, Vicks, makers of Vicks Vatrinol and Vicks Vapor Rub, will again bring you another stirring page in the diary of the Nichols Family of Five. Be sure to join us next Sunday afternoon. Until then, watch out for colds.
Attention, please, to a special message for Christmas shoppers. If you're looking for an extra special Christmas gift for that extra special lady, if nothing less than perfection itself will do, then here's your answer. Give her Prince Machiavelli's Christmas Star, a dazzling golden gift package containing 3 royal crowns of the greatest perfumes ever created by Prince Machiavelli. 3 rare world-famous perfumes, including Catherine the Great, Ave Maria, and Duchess of York, each in princely crown bottles nestling in a golden Christmas star. What a thrill she'll get when she discovers that your gift to her was specially created by one of the world's truly great perfumers, Prince Machiavelli, royal perfumer to the world's most glamorous women. Now, confidentially, you'll be amazed at how little this royal gift actually costs. So if you're looking for a gift of rare beauty and distinction, get Prince Machiavelli's Christmas Star Package, containing 3 exquisite perfumes, Catherine the Great, Ave Maria, and Duchess of York. Just go to the perfume counter of your leading department store today and ask for Prince Machiavelli's Christmas Star. This is the National Broadcasting Company.